author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
There is a new unit of time that will replace the nanosecond, and that is the amount of time it takes for an event to happen and John Kirby to get on the airwaves explaining what Biden really said and meant.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
The president is expected to sign an executive order today that will essentially make the social media giants more liable to lawsuits as a result of what he says is censorship. What are your thoughts on this?
It's outrageous, but it's an outrageous situation. While Twitter is putting up their fact check under what the president says about voting, they still won't take off the misrepresentations the president is putting out there by the death of a gentleman whose wife died, and he's asking them to take down the president's misrepresentations. So it's, yes, we like Twitter to put up their fact check the president, but it seems to be very selective, very selective. And of course, you know my view of this, and I've said it before, Facebook, all of them, they're all about making money. Their business model is to make money at the expense of the truth and the facts and that they know. And they defend. They defend that. I think Facebook has made tens of billions of dollars during this period of time where people are so reliant on social media. And they testify that they have no responsibility for the truth.
Golly, that's Nancy Pelosi. That was just moments ago. All right, so first off, let me set you up. I'm Dana Lash. Welcome to the show, danalash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And all 3 hours simulcast on official Dana Lash on Facebook, YouTube, channel 248, Pluto TV. We have a chat, too, for now. We won't if immunity for 230 is removed. And so what we're going to get into is I'm going to lay it out. Normally, I try not to drive off into the weeds, but there are too many damn people talking about this story, and they don't know what they're talking about. I would bet that 99% of the people that are discussing this on Twitter haven't even read the law. More than that. So we will today, because I am made of questions. You guys think I'm joking when I tell you I'm like 2 steps above anarchy. There are things about which I am a purist. 1A, 2A. I am more constitutional on 2A than a lot of the so-called groups out there. And life. I'm a purist. And I'm a purist on free speech. So this is what, let me break down. I want to explain to you what this is, what this law is, because there's an executive order that's going to be coming from the president today. We don't know. All we know is that it has to do with social media, and everyone is anticipating that it has to do with the immunity provided in Section 230. Now, I've been kind of wavering on this issue back and forth for over a year, and you guys have known about it because I've talked to you about it. I've had on Senator Josh Hawley. I've told him to convince me, and I want him to come on again because I'm trying to be combative, but because I really want to understand, what am I missing? What, I mean, genuinely, like, what am I missing from this argument? Because I just don't agree with this. I don't. And I'm going to tell you how it affects you, because it's going to affect you. You think that it doesn't? You think that it just affects Twitter and Facebook? That's not right. So first off, why don't we start by doing what no one else does on social media? Everyone's an expert, but no one's read the damn law in which they pretend to be an expert. It's Section 47, 230 of the U.S. Code, Protection for Private Blocking and Screening of Offensive Material. The reason that I want to break it down like this, and we have other stuff to get into as well, including the latest with Minneapolis. We're going to talk about that coming up. This is related to free speech. Because what Section 230 did is it ultimately created the internet as we know it. This was passed in 1997. I heard someone trying to pretend to be an expert to me on Twitter, and they were like, oh, it was passed in the early 90s. I'm like, shut the hell up. Get the hell out of my mentions, you moron. I have zero patience for people who preen. I have zero patience for pretend experts. Do not expect courtesy from me. It has nothing to do with grace. I'll hit you with my book on it. It has everything to do with I'm indignant over the fact that someone's pretending to be a know-it-all so that they can preen about something that actually is going to undermine, could potentially undermine something. I get super slap happy about that, like physically. So this is the law. This is Section 230. And it gets into, it sets it up, the internet and interactive computer services. The services, because this, I remember in 97, there were so many things that this applied to. Twitter didn't exist then. Facebook didn't exist then. And I disagree with the takes at this point that, well, maybe these laws need to be rewritten because there's no specificity with regard to platform. That's the thing. Platform isn't even mentioned in Section 230. It's not mentioned. There isn't this either or that is set up in Section 230. And it is so important that you know that because I feel like conservatives are being baited by the progressive left to undermine speech. I have a couple of theories. Or Trump is playing chicken with Twitter. They both could be true. I mean, they both could be true. So it sets up how Americans are relying on interactive media for a variety of political, educational, cultural, and entertainment services. So the policy, this is the policy of 230. To promote the continued development of the internet, interactive computer services, and other interactive media, to preserve the vibrant and competitive free market that presently exists for the internet and other interactive community services unfettered by the federal state regulation, to encourage development, blah, 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 blah. And this is where it gets into protection for Good Samaritan blocking and screening of offensive material. Treatment of publisher or speaker. No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. Sidebar. One of the things that this was fought to protect, and I have some cases that I'm going to give you an example of, arms list is one of them. Get ready to have purchasing firearms online affected. One of the ways in which this came about is there were fights back in the day when we were college kids and we were on the Webernets as to whether or not websites were liable for what commenters posted. And ultimately, legally, it was determined that they were not. That immunity will be removed if Section 230, if that immunity is obliterated. So it gets into civil liability. No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be held liable on account of. Now, this is what you need to pay attention to. Any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to or availability of material that the provider or user considers to be obscene, lewd, things, indecent behavior, filthiness, like it'd be pornography, violence, harassing, otherwise objectionable, whether or not such material is constitutionally protected or any action taken to enable or make available to information content providers or others the technical means to restrict access to material described in paragraph 1. Now, it gets into the effect on criminal law. It gets into IP. It says because it doesn't expand any law pertaining to intellectual property, etc. And then it gets into definition of things. Literally nowhere in Section 230 is the term platform ever mentioned. The idea that someone has to choose between a platform or a publisher is a lie. It is told to you by people who have not read the law about which they're posing as experts. Now, what does Section 230 do? Here's an example. There was some dude who got super sassy in the chat, YouTube chat, with Lorraine, who very kindly moderates it. I provide this facility for people. I don't have to do absolutely squat. I don't have to provide it. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to send out a newsletter for free that I don't even make money on. I mean, I spend hours on it. I spend a lot of time on it. I don't get anything off of it. I do it because I like to do it, and I do it because I like to give information to people. Might be stupid. I actually enjoy it. I don't have to provide a comment section on my Facebook page. I don't have to do any of this. There was somebody that got super sassy with Lorraine and was saying that, oh, you blocked me because I was spamming or something and I'm going to sue you. And I'm like, shut up. I can't stand stuff like this. You know how many times a day I hear something like this? I muted someone on Twitter. They're going to sue me. I deleted someone's comment on Facebook because they called someone to see you next Tuesday. I'm going to sue you. Literally no legal protection for any of that. There's no legal basis for any of that. And I'm not responsible for what commenters do. Because I don't go and I'm not responsible for it. The only good faith thing is like things that are harassment. And no, remember, I want to go back to even things that are not even material constitutionally protected, whether or not it is constitutionally protected is entirely irrelevant. It's no shirt, no shoes, no service. 230 changes that. This is what Section 230 is going to do. There will be no comments on any websites. Say goodbye to, for instance, the Dana Show chat. I will end all comments on Facebook because nobody has the resources or the time to go and moderate all of this stuff to remove any indecent material. Because there are proprietors who don't want indecent material like that on their stuff. But the downside is if you get in and you do that, you forfeit your immunity. That is what 230 is about. I get super uptight about this stuff because this is a serious thing. I promise you, if you never believed me before, believe me on this one thing. This will not decrease federal involvement. I swear to you, hands to sky, it will invoke it. It will invite more federal involvement. I mean, very rarely do I get this serious like this on the show because I'm kind of a smart ass. But I'm telling you something, folks. We're in new territory. Now, I don't know what Trump is going to do. I think that he has made some good decisions as it relates to rights. You know, I support his agenda. I hope that this isn't a blanket across the screen, you know, removal of all of this. Of these immunities. I really hope not. Because it's just so dangerous. It's dangerous and the repercussions are going to be further reaching than we could ever imagine. So I don't know. Now, I want to talk too about those individuals who want this regulated. Look, out of more than a lot of people out there, I absolutely can say, yes, I've been one of the people that Twitter has suppressed. My husband's account was one time suspended because of an innocuous thing. I've been targeted politically. People who have threatened my life on Twitter, I've been told, didn't violate Twitter's terms of service. So I get it. I absolutely get it. I would still rather have all of that than not. That's the difference. You either want liberty or you don't. There's no such thing as a little bit of it. It's a spout. It's a water spout. It's a fire hose. You either want it or you don't. If it's regulated, it is not freedom. Again, I told y'all I'm two steps above anarchy on this stuff. And there are three issues about which I'm an absolutist. I'll say it again. Speech, firearms, life. And ultimately, really, if I want to put a fourth one on there, my money. Like, you abolish the IRS and suddenly I'm going to Jared's Jewelers getting a Mizpah because you and I just became best friends. That's what's happening. 14 karat gold. Just let me know the length of chain you want. So we have a lot of stuff to get into. I'm not even done with this issue. I'm going to give you examples of cases where this has already come into play. And like I told you, arms list is one of them. That is going to be affected. I have the case. We're going to go over it. I want to get into the weeds a little bit because you need to know exactly what you're dealing with. Also, additionally, this is what else we got coming up. The fires and riots in Minneapolis last night. Why is it always the auto zones that get burned? Every time it's an auto zone. If something pops off in your hood, everybody, stay the hell away from an auto zone. We've got that and a ton more. You don't want to miss it. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, instead of going to space yesterday, we burned down a damn auto zone. SpaceX was postponed by the weather and rescheduled for Saturday. Astronauts Bob and Doug, who are my new favorite people, are scheduled to lift off. It's 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central on Saturday, and we are all going to watch it. Of course we are, because this is so amazing. I have a great article, by the way, to share with you later on about this. In addition, the Minneapolis mayor just a little earlier today has called for the National Guard after riots, destruction. One person was shot and killed. Now, the story is that they were trying to loot a store, and the store owner was protecting their property. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Antibody tests for the Wuhan coronavirus are wrong up to half the time, says the CDC, who has also been wrong about half the time. And good on Missouri Governor Mike Parson. He says he doesn't think the state should tell local governments what to do on a, quote, daily basis. The state tells locals what to do a lot, though. Plastic bags and minimum wage and everything else. So maybe a little less is good. That's the good thing. And Attorney General Barr has appointed a U.S. attorney to review the unmasking of Michael Flynn and everything before and after the election. Stick with us. We got a huge show for you today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
So, tell me who you are.
Free American, yeah.
And so, what are you doing today?
We were out here yesterday, too, down on the original protest site. So basically, you've seen the records that cops keep. And cops are a lot less likely to try and tread on people's rights when there's other armed Americans with them. So we figured it's about damn time that some, or at least I figure that it's about damn time, some heavily armed rednecks stood with fellow citizens.
And why are you protecting this store?
Well, I mean, this wasn't exactly a specified action.
We've
been moving around and just trying to see what's what without getting necessarily completely slapped by massive groups of people. And,
who were armed walking, with their semi-auto rifles.
There were some guys,
and by the way, they were black and white gentlemen.
And,
which is clearly visible.
And they're defending their business.
And they were in Minneapolis last night as the riots and looting took place. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. We'll have more on big tech coming up. But that was, you know, that was cool. That was very cool. DanaLash.com. I'm going to write about this later up today as well. And I have a piece about big tech coming up. last night in Minneapolis. Gosh dang, it wasn't just in Minneapolis. It was in Los Angeles, too, and a couple of other places around the city. Massive, massive destruction in Minneapolis, though, because there were, it started as a protest. And quite frankly, I think they got every, people have, I mean, I support protests, even if I don't agree with the message. But I have to say, as far as the peaceful protest goes, I'd be out in the street peacefully protesting this as well, because it's ridiculous. I wanted to share, my friend Kurt Schlichter made a really good point, because the officer that was at the center of George Floyd's death, and again, I have to pay this penance, because we have people out there who read with pictures, drive-bys, they're not regulars to our fellowship of the ring here, but you can support what law enforcement does and not support bad law enforcement. Those two things can coexist. Just want everybody to know that, okay? And the officer specifically at the center of George Floyd's case has been with the department since 2001, according to NBC. And during his career, he was the subject of over a dozen complaints, police conduct complaints, and records show he was never disciplined. He was also involved in a fatal officer shooting. Never disciplined. Ever. Kurt Schlichter goes, well, that's impossible. Why, Minneapolis is a Democrat-run city in a Democrat state. How can this be? It's a great point. Incredibly great point. But the riots and looting, the protest is fine. And I think, honestly, people should be out there protesting. But what isn't fine is the looting and the burning. So AutoZone was set on fire and burned. I don't even know. And Target was burned. And the, what was it? Target was burned. What was it? There was another one. There's like three or four businesses burned. But can I just also like ask, why is it that it's always the AutoZone? Because like this happened in Ferguson and like, what is it? Wasn't there one in Baltimore? I can't even remember. There's like the third or fourth AutoZone that's been burned. Like, what did AutoZone do? Come on. So that's not, that doesn't do anything. What that does, oh, both the two grocery stores were looted and destroyed. The two grocery stores in town. The two grocery stores. The only way that people have to go get groceries in that area. At this point, you're hurting a community that's already been rocked. And there's just nothing good about that. It's just awful. But there were genuine protests. And now the four officers involved, those individuals have been fired. Now, I think the Minneapolis mayor, he's a big lefty. But he does ask a question. This is, I want to listen to this. Audio soundbite 7. This is Jacob Frey, the mayor there in Minneapolis. Listen to this.
Steve, play this for us, please.
7.
More than anything else over the last 36 hours, one fundamental question. Why is the man who killed George Floyd not in jail? If you had done it, or I had done it, we would be behind bars, right?
I mean, he's not wrong. I don't get it. I mean, he's not wrong there. I can't believe it, because I'm pretty sure I loathe him on every other position. But you know why this weirds me out? And I noted this. In a piece I'm working on. First off, it's awful that it happened. It's grotesque. What you saw on video. This is, I want you to think about it this way. If you are unconvinced, what have we all been complaining about past couple months? Anybody know?
Besides being locked up.
The enforcement of the manner in which we've been locked up. We've talked about some of the heavy-handed enforcement in California, New Jersey. We've talked about some of the good refusal to enforce too, like the guys that were sent to, the officers that were sent to apparently arrest Mankey, and they just went up to him and basically said, we appreciate you, and walked away. But there have been a lot of people who have been very unsettled by the manner in which the lockdown has been enforced. You've had church parishioners who've had their license plates taken down. simply because they decided to sit in their car, for instance, and there's a number of these stories. They would sit in their car and they listen to a church service, and they wouldn't get out of their car. They all practiced social distancing. Heck, some of them even had their masks on while they were inside their car, and they had the state to enforce it would send law enforcement out to collect everyone's license plate numbers and send them a citation after. There have been people who've cited for just being out driving, not even getting out of their car, just to get out of their house. There are a lot of examples of this. And what did I warn you a month ago? What did I warn you about a month ago? Despite the fact that there are a lot of good officers out there, the incorrect enforcement and the bad enforcement is what gets the optic. It's unfair, but that's how it works. The world's unfair. And there are a lot of officers that speak out. I think more officers need to speak out. I think more leaders in law enforcement need to make it okay for those officers to speak out. Because let's be real, they got families that they got to feed and all that stuff too, and it gets weird. But the relationship between conservatives and Republicans and law enforcement has always been pretty rock solid. That's going to get jeopardized with stuff like this. And when you have the enforcement that you've seen with the lockdown and then the timing of this, because this is indefensible. I don't care who you are. Somebody was trying to tell me on Twitter, yeah, well, what about the black guy that took a baby and threw it off a bridge and all this stuff? And I'm like, that's a horrible crime. What the hell does that have to do with this story? What does that have to do with this? You know the difference? And you know one of the reasons why people are really singling this out is because this is a person, and I'm pretty sure that that mayor, that Democrat mayor, and the governor there in Minnesota, pretty sure that these same officers have also been enforcing the social distancing and everything else. You have these individuals that are shepherds of the flock. That's how I look at it. You have people who volunteer within their respective communities to go out, and it's a job that comes with a heck of a lot more risk than most jobs, and the majority of them do it admirably. But then you got people like this cop, like this dude in Minneapolis, who don't. And the reason it is huge is because this is someone in whom the public thought they could trust. This is someone in whom the public, they, as a lesson in civics, they get together and they pull their money together and they pay these people through their pooled money to keep them safe. Now, I don't even care what this guy did at this point. What was something like he was trying to pay something with a counterfeit $20 bill? Isn't that the story? Forgery. You don't sit there with your knee on his neck for 8 minutes. I'm going to tell you, I got a couple of law enforcement friends that went off on this. Oh my gosh. I can't even read the text on air. Because they're like, basically, there is no self-respecting department that teaches a submission tactic like this. And that where you put the knee on the neck, etc. Just, it's bad. So this is why, it's a big deal. This is a big deal. And this guy, apparently, I don't even care what his record was. I don't care about what anything he did. I want people, no matter what side they're on, y'all need to be very careful that we are not trying people for past perceived offenses, because aren't these the people that keep bringing up like, well, look at his record. Aren't these the same people on Twitter that get mad when you go back 15 years on Twitter and look at someone's tweet and then they try them in the court of public opinion for that? But what? You can't do that, but it's okay to do it in like other cases? That is entirely inconsistent. I am seeing way too many inconsistent conservatives. Too many of them. It's inconsistent. So I mean, this is bad news. Bad news. Now, the destruction of Minneapolis is stupid. It is criminal. That is not protected free speech. It is not protected free speech to burn down an auto zone. It is not protected free speech to loot a Target. That is theft. It is not protected speech to burn the Target. It is not protected speech. There was a U.S. bank that was looted. That's not protected speech. Some of these people, I have these people that are out there doing all this stuff. They don't care about George Floyd. They don't care about any of that. Why would you do something that would necessitate more police response? Don't snatch. I mean, you're snatching victory away here. You were in the right. And then this? You're not going to convince people of your stance with stuff like this. And you know what? In a time when a lot of these businesses have been locked down and they've been struggling, and now some of these businesses are destroyed. Man. Yeah, the auto zones. It just makes me wonder, if something pops off in your neighborhood, just don't go to the auto zone, okay? Just you know. So coming up, I have a crazy story for you. Also, I'm going to share an excellent piece on the future of space. A great piece from The Atlantic. It's one of the best ones that I've read about this. Huge win in Texas against mail-in voting. We've got that. And then I'm going to share with you some of the cases in that are affected by this Section 230. We talked a little bit about it in a previous segment. We'll have that. We'll get that as a clip for you, too, to go back and reference. But I'm going to share some cases with you. One of them, for instance, involves Arms List. Because it's not just going to be the platforms that are affected by any kind of removal of immunity. And we actually don't know what's in the EO, and I want to make that clear. The executive order that's coming from the president, word on the street said it's been drafted since 2019. And that was when you had Zuckerberg and Dorsey was up in the Capitol. And then you had Zuckerberg testifying for a subcommittee. So the far-reaching effects of this, it's not just Twitter and Facebook. You're also looking at things like Craigslist. You're looking at Snapchat. You're looking at Instagram, Arms List, all kinds of stuff. You got to take that into consideration. We're going to talk more about these cases and the further effects of a potential removal of Section 230 immunity, which, by the way, just to reiterate, never says the word platform ever in the law at all. It's been passing since 97. Some people need to read it instead of tweeting about it.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's tragic and sad. If black people said, let's all go out and get guns and start the protest, that would be the fastest change of gun law culture in this country.
Yeah.
If you started to have African-Americans buying up AR-15s or whatever you want to call them and going out and protesting legally with legal weapons, you'd see a change in the laws. Yeah. And that's sad.
With all due respect, that's the most Fredo-ific thing I've ever heard. First off, back in the day when that was happening, it was the party to which Cuomo there for CNN, Chris Cuomo, is a member that saw that happening and instituted gun control. Gun control began as a racist conception. It was conceived in racism. I wrote about this in my first book, Hands Off My Gun, heavily cited. Go and read it, because it discusses how back during the era of Reconstruction and everything after the Civil War, that freed men and women, black Americans, were being bullied away from their natural right to vote, and they weren't even allowed to have dogs to defend themselves, and firearms they were deprived of as well. And in fact, that was one of the big determining factors in Roger Taney's racist decision in Dred Scott as to why he couldn't be considered a full person, because he couldn't own a firearm. So you see how far reaching that racist construct was. You want to have a discussion of racism, use this, exactly what you just heard, what I just played for you. That's insane. No, the people who have always historically had a problem with it have been white Democrats. White as rice Democrats. They've always had a problem with it. Always. It's just stupid. I never had a problem with anybody. I didn't have a problem. I'll be real with you. And some people were trying to give me crap for it and just give you, if I had a giant middle foam finger, I'd throw it up there. But some people, I didn't had no problem that the new Black Panthers had guns at one of the, what was it? One of the, what was that protest? Where's that protest at?
Yeah, you're right. It was recent, too.
There were like two different protests where new Black Panthers kept, and they weren't brandishing them in terms of maliciousness or intimidation. Everybody was carrying them responsibly. And are you going to sit here and try to scare other white people, white Democrats, into giving up their gun rights because you're terrified of Black Americans being armed? Jiminy Christmas, sit here and tell me how you're not racist. I just have zero tolerance for this crap. I don't. None. All right, we got a lot more coming up, including I'm going to share with you some cases that actually are and a result of this 230, Section 230, which we're supposed to have an executive order on today. I have no idea when that's going to happen. I don't know anything about it except what you know, that it pertains to social media and everyone's anticipating 230. So we're going to get into that. Coming up, don't go anywhere.
It's the Dana Show.
Patriot Mobile is introducing new pricing on all new lines for a limited time. $25, $35, $45, $55. That's right, plan pricing is now only $25, $35, $45, $55. Let their U.S.-based team design a customized family plan for you. Patriot Mobile will never charge you hidden fees, and by switching, you'll finally stop supporting Planned Parenthood and gun-grabbing Democratic candidates. Patriot Mobile only supports the conservative values that you believe in. Did you know so far this year, AT&T and Verizon have given twice as much money to Democratic candidates as to Republicans? Who are you supporting with your cell phone? Join me in supporting Patriot Mobile this month and you'll receive an autographed copy of my new book, Grace Canceled. Switching is easy and can all be done over the phone. You get new lower pricing, $25, $35, $45, $55, and support your values with every call. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Make the call today to 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana to waive all activation fees and receive a free gift.
Well, a lot of censorship directed at speech, apparently, that the big tech doesn't like. But I want to know, why is it? And it's not just censorship in China, by the way, Steve. They're censoring Americans. Google's YouTube is censoring Americans who are criticizing the Chinese Communist Party, taking their comments down. Why? I mean, what is going on?
Well, that's Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, my home state of Missouri. He's not wrong with asking those questions. Okay, of course there's a but. You've heard a but in there. You felt it in my voice. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, all 3 hours. Facebook, YouTube, Chew 48, Pluto TV. And goodness. So this, I don't know when the executive order is supposed to be today. We know just as much as you do. I'm telling you everything that I know. The Section 230, as it relates to social media, the president, the administration had said yesterday that they were going, that this was something that was going to be signed today, and that action was going to be taken. And from what I understand, the draft of this has been in existence since 2019. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of some of my sources on the Hill. And that was about the time that you had Mark Zuckerberg and others that were going and testifying on Capitol Hill. And last hour, I was explaining to you the concerns that we have with Section 230 and the far-reaching repercussions. And I just want to touch on that real quickly again, because Section 230, not a lot of people have apparently read this law. It does not demand neutrality. Number one, it doesn't even mention the word platform. I'm posting about this, and I actually have the law linked in the post I'm going to put up there. And we were reading the law that our last hour, and it specifically gets into Good Samaritan blocking and screening of offensive material. And it only says publisher or speaker. So if you are a provider or user of any kind of interactive service online, interactive computer service, so that even can be meant to be online, that no provider will be treated as a publisher or speaker of any information by another information content provider. So that means that if you have a website, you are not going to be treated as the publisher or speaker of information provided by a commenter on your site. And it gets into civil liability. You're not going to be held liable on account of, and this is important, any action voluntarily taken in good faith, this is the law, to restrict access to or availability of material that the provider or user considers to be obscene, lewd, any indecent, anything like pornography that people don't want online, anything like that. And they're careful to note whether or not such material is constitutionally protected. And you're not going to be held liable on account of any action taken to enable or make available information content providers or others the technical means to restrict access to material described in the paragraph. Now, this was pushed into effect in 1997, and this was around the time that there were a lot of people having, in 1997, I was a freshman in college, and this is when everyone was wondering whether or not websites could be held liable for what commenters post, right? And the determining legality was that you can't be. Now, when you remove this immunity, this doesn't just affect Twitter and Facebook. As I said earlier, this affects websites with comment sections. Say goodbye to comment sections. Say goodbye to 4chan. Say goodbye to Reddit. Say goodbye to Snapchat, Instagram. Say goodbye to the Dana Show chat. Say goodbye to because all of that. Because people do not have the time or resources to go through and police everything for indecent content, because good people don't want indecent or illegal stuff up there in their comment sections. And they don't want to forfeit their immunity from liability just because they remove that stuff. And that's what 230 will do. You forfeit your immunity if you remove bad stuff, to put it plainly. And so it doesn't even mention a platform. Here's the thing. You know, if the entity engages in illegality itself, like if Twitter is engaging in libel, slander, or we have speech that is not considered constitutionally protected. It isn't a ban on speech. There is already, it's already codified that there are forms of speech that are not protected with immunity. And like I just said, like if you're actionable death threats and libel and slander and defamation and things like that. And also, these are the most difficult forms, the most difficult accusations to prove in a court of law. And it's on purpose so that there isn't a chilling effect on speech. So this is incredibly important. This is all the stuff that's affected by this. And I wanted to touch on this too, as it relates to 230, because so many people view this as like, you know, it's kind of like the First Amendment of the internet. It doesn't say that any company must be neutral. That's literally not at all in the law. And what it does is you are protected from immunity, except if like Twitter creates illegal content. If they edit it in a way that it is determined in a court of law to contribute to any kind of illegality, if they are behaving or participating or engaging in any illegal action, or if they're profiting from illegal actions, right? I mean, you have to, these entities, they are accountable for their own illegal actions, but they are not accountable for the illegal actions of the people who use their services. And what 230 does is removes that distinction. And I don't think that it's beyond the realm of belief to argue, well, does this mean that this can be abused and there's going to be a slippery slope? And if we're going to hold online operators responsible for how people use their platforms, could you also say that of manufacturers? I mean, that's a legitimate question. I mean, it just seems like that's a legitimate question with this. So I wanted to share with you, there's a really good piece on this as it related to Arms List. This was something that a couple of different sites, the Volokh Conspiracy and others, and Reason and others wrote about this. It was the Wisconsin Supreme Court in which this ultimately was determined to that this happened in. And this was back in 2019. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2019, they were hearing Daniel v. Armslist. And this is a lawsuit in which the plaintiff wanted to hold the firearms ad and discussion forum Armslist responsible for violence committed by someone who purchased a gun through someone he connected with on the site. And TechDirt wrote, as with a lot of the litigation challenging Section 230, it was one of those bad facts make bad law sorts of cases. Kathy Gellis at TechDirt wrote, in this case, an estranged husband against whom there was a restraining order bought a gun from an unlicensed seller who had advertised through the Armslist site. Notably, it does not appear that the sale was necessarily illegal. I mean, obviously, you have private sales. I'm reading what she wrote. But they said that. If the sale had been illegal or fully brokered via the site, Section 230 would have still insulated the platform. But here, the Section 230 inquiry should be much more straightforward. The lawsuit alleged that Armslist negligently designed a site that facilitated a third party speech. In this case, the speech offering the gun for sale that should have been barred by 230. But the court dismissed the case. Reason added that the state appeals court reversed the decision, prompting Armslist to appeal to the state Supreme Court. Because no arms seller can guarantee a gun won't be used for a crime, this opens up any such entity to liability, no matter how legal and thorough they are. And it also has reached far beyond that of firearms. This is all the ways that 230 can be abused, folks. They said, too, Gellis wrote, internet platforms come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and they offer all sorts of services and enable all sorts of speech on all sorts of topics. All of them are affected by how the court resolves this case before it. And so that is one example of what happens sans immunity with 230. I mean, I have other examples that I could give too. We already have cases that have appealed to this. This is, it's really, and I have theories. I mean, I feel like in some instances, conservatives are being baited to give up their First Amendment rights. I also think that Trump is playing chicken with Twitter. But I want you all to remember, too, how Democrats so desperately wanted Facebook to be regulated because the Trump campaign was so successful in using the advertising on Facebook. And Facebook refused, first off, despite all of the pressure from the court of public opinion, they refused to stop selling advertising, specifically political advertising. And they refused to stop selling political advertising and engaging in commerce with the Trump campaign, who is more successful than any Democrat campaign in utilizing this. And so Democrats, in order to, quote, unquote, level the field, decided that they wanted to regulate Facebook and prevent them from doing this. So this is essentially similar to the argument against Twitter. I never, ever want to find myself agreeing with a Democrat that is really a socialist on the issue of speech. Because any regulation of speech is an abridgment of speech. Liberty is a fire hose. You're either good with it or you're not. The end. There are a lot of conservatives out there that are showing themselves to not be conservative in their reasoning and their walkthrough on this. So that's it. And I was looking, like, for instance, this is a piece at USA Today. And the tease is our media Canon noted that our media is 95% propaganda, but USA Today says too many loopholes exist for bad actors to influence our elections. It's time for Facebook to get serious about closing them. That's not Facebook's responsibility. That isn't Facebook's responsibility. And then they tried to appeal to the whole China aspect of it. China's hidden targeting of Donald Trump is one reason Facebook needs new cybersecurity. You're always going to have this. This is one of the things that you're going to have. I would rather have too many things to deal with than not enough, to abridge a Jefferson quote. So this is a problem. And then you have, can we play this audio sum? Oh gosh, do we have to audio soundbite 20 really quickly? Sorry, Donna Brazile. Free speech is under attack. Listen to this.
Talking over me because you're talking nonsense. These conspiracy theories do cost lives. And the misinformation that you put out, the president tweet should have been deleted. I would have deleted the president's tweet. And you know why? Because it's a bald-faced lie. It's Republicans who use absentee ballots to get out their votes. That has traditionally been the way the Republicans have always motivated their voters. Go ahead and vote early. So I think that the social media platform companies should regulate themselves, and they should make sure that these conspiracy theories, the one the president put out about Joe Scarborough, it should be deleted.
should be deleted. First off, that's First Amendment can cover lies and damn lies. Let's be real about that. That is legally not even accurate. I have a great piece that I could deep dive into, that a couple of great pieces. But the idea that there's no First Amendment for lies. Yeah, actually, there is. There is. And especially when truth is subjective anymore, there absolutely is. And the reason that there is because truth can be abused to be objective, to be defined as objective. I mean, the idea that it's not free speech because you think that it isn't true, or maybe it isn't true. So, and the First Amendment still protects it. The things that are not protected from liability, libel, slander, defamation. If it doesn't fall into that, tough. Man alive. I worry, man, you know? Yeah, you know, this is crazy.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, a soldier struck a gunman with his car, averting a possible mass shooting. An active duty soldier stopped a shooting outside of a military base by striking the suspect with his car. This was Fort Leavenworth. KSHB said that reported that an unnamed active duty soldier was driving along the Centennial Bridge when he spotted a shooter opening fire on vehicles on the Missouri side of the bridge. And that's when he ran the dude over with his car, which saved the day, disabled the suspect, and kept him there until law enforcement responded and took him into custody. Awesome. That's a really awesome story. Very heroic. Also, the Shakespeare's Globe Theater, there is a discussion that this may close for good. The original Globe Theater, built by Shakespeare's theater company, the Lord Chamberlain's Men, in 1599, may close for good. Fortunately, a fire destroyed the original part of it in 1613. A replica was built in 97. Now, because of the ongoing pandemic, it has to halt all productions. It can't sustain itself. And so now it looks to close permanently. The Dow rallies more than 500 points for a second day and closes above $25,000 for the first time since March, reports CNBC. A state has loosened cougar hunting restrictions. Boxed wine will be allowed to hunt. I'm kidding, not at least on that part, because you can't talk about cougars and then not mention boxed wine. But this is the Washington State. Hunters will be able to actually hunt more cougar after Washington Fish and Wildlife commissioners voted last month to increase limits in 19 areas. That means that cougars will be allowed to, that they'll be able to be hunted in several areas of the state. That's actually going to, it's not going to reduce their population. It's going to manage the surplus population growth. The surplus growth of cougar population actually got a little bit out of whack. And so they're having these hunters come in and cull that population, which is healthier for all of the other species. Jamie Foxx defends Jimmy Fallon after Jimmy Fallon apologized. In his Instagram comments, actor Jamie Foxx says, you don't have to apologize for blank. Good on Jamie Foxx. We got a lot more coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at DanaRadio.com or on demand.
Hey, look, these aren't fact checks that are going on. This is opinion journalism at this point. They have decided, Twitter, to engage the president of the United States with its own partisan political viewpoint. They have gone to Congress time and time again and represented under oath that they don't engage in partisan political bias. And then we see conduct like this. And I think this raises another question. In addition to Section 230, which we've talked about, just a regular business practice. Put aside the fact that they can choose to speak however you want. You can't have it both ways.
So that is the FCC chair who was, by the way, I always say, I can say whatever I want because I know him. And I can just be like, hey, can I get a pass on this? Doesn't make Kane and Steve feel better. Discussing this executive order that's expected to come later today as it relates to speech on social media. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I'm going to have a big write-up about this coming up at danalash.com, so make sure that you don't miss that. And also sign up for the email newsletter as well. So the I've got like a million things here. We have way more show for you today than we have actually time to accommodate it. So let me really quickly with the executive order. I don't know. Nobody knows how far it's going to go or what it actually is going to include. We, as we were saying, I was going over with you earlier, like a way, like one case in particular in which this could be affected. I mean, you're not just looking at Twitter or Facebook. I would have to end the Dana Show chat. I would have to suspend comments on Facebook. I would not be able to have any kind of commentary on Instagram because I'm sure that there would be some sort of litigious action that would say, oh, if you're allowing comments and you are removing any comment that would be indecent, etc., you're forfeiting any immunity by doing that, because that is what Section 230 protects. And again, I want to really emphasize this because I apparently more people are talking about the law than have actually read the law. And it's very important to note that the law states it doesn't matter whether or not the content in question is constitutionally protected. They're very careful with this. It just simply says you are not liable if you act in good faith to eliminate anything that is considered to be indecent or obscene or harassing, etc. Regardless, and again, this is the law. Let me just read this. This is subsection 2A of Section 230, that you are no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be held liable on account of any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to or availability of material that the provider or user considers to be obscene, lewd. Again, I mean, there's a whole bunch of adjectives here. Anything that's indecent, regardless of whether or not that material is protected by the Constitution, it is irrelevant. And you're not liable if you take any action to enable or make available to information content providers or others the technical means to restrict access to material described in that. So this, it hasn't, there's the word platform is never mentioned. There's no such any implication that there's supposed to be defined or maintenance of neutrality. That doesn't exist in this. It's not there, but it's going to have far-reaching consequences. And like I said, arms list. This was something that was last year in Wisconsin, and it went all the way up to the state Supreme Court. People were trying to sue arms list because someone purchased a firearm off of arms list and decided to act with it in a criminal manner in commission of a felony. And they were trying to make arms list responsible for that and said that that wasn't protected under Section 230. And the court held that it was. Now, you remove that immunity, and guess what? Websites are now responsible for what people post in comments. That's just the way it is. Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, you will redefine social media. The way that social media, the way that we know it, will cease to exist. Now, I don't believe that simply putting a footnote on a tweet is censorship. First off, I don't believe censorship is even possible when it pertains to private entities. Because censorship was specifically, and I fear that we're watering down this word, censorship is something specifically that the federal government can do. Now, that is not to say, and I wish that there was a better way to describe this, corporate censorship cannot exist, because clearly it does. And clearly we are in some uncharted territory when you have Google as your main browser and they have Gmail and control basically everything. And you have YouTube, which is apparently allowing communist China to delete comments that portray or communist China in a negative light or otherwise criticize the Communist Party of China. And then you have Twitter, which is influential, and Facebook, which is influential. The problem is that, and this is what I keep saying over and over again, I don't want any of these entities to be federally regulated. I am Wild West about this stuff. I think, again, I say it, freedom is a fire hose. You either can handle it or you can't. No one, I don't believe that you're censored if there's a footnote on your tweet. I don't, because if I believe that that is somehow even corporate censorship, the implication that comes with that is I believe everyone is so unbelievably sheep-esque stupid that they will admit, that they won't think for themselves. All of this is somehow predicated upon people, the belief that people are unable to think for themselves. I don't have faith in people. I just understand the way people think a little bit more. It doesn't have anything to do with faith in people. I just know people can be smarter. I just don't like, I don't like this regulation. And I swear to you, as I said the first hour of this program, if you never believe anything that I say, at least believe this one thing. This will, and I promise you, this will invite more federal control, not less. If immunity with Section 230 is eliminated. Now, I am not combative on this. I am completely open to being persuaded otherwise. I am completely open to any and all good arguments, because ultimately, the only way that I know how to answer this, the only way that I know how to solve it, is you meet speech with more speech. More voices, not fewer voices. More platforms, not fewer platforms. That is how you fight it. That is how you do it. If that means you have to have more than one social media account, as Jefferson said, I'd rather have too much liberty to attend to than too little of it. It's the way it is. I feel like we're, and I don't believe that the fact that this is in a digital sphere changes that. This isn't a public square. Twitter isn't a public square. They don't owe you anything. It's not a federal entity. It doesn't get taxpayer dollars. It's a privately held entity. And you agree to be the product by using their service. The payment for using their service is that you are the product and they will sell ads to you. That's how that works. You willingly enter into that agreement. No one forces you to. And I even think that they're little tags on Twitter are not as even obtrusive as what Facebook has. Facebook, even though Mark Zuckerberg, to his credit, and I still think that they do some pretty bummy stuff in deleting posts and all this garbage, but I will say this, he won't bend a knee to communist China, because China said, oh yeah, we'll have Facebook in China so long as you allow the Communist Party to censor it and etc. And he said no. I mean, you're talking about, he could have doubled his wealth and he didn't want to. I mean, virtually double his wealth, and he didn't want to. So credit to that, at least. But they'll block entire posts. They put these little blurry filters over it and says, we've independently fact-checked this. Twitter just puts a footnote, at least, at the bottom. Now, look, I've been suppressed by Twitter. I'm not going to lie. I think they've done some bummy stuff, but I'd rather have that than not have the freedom. That's the thing. And I, you know, for the past year or so, I've been going back and forth on this. I don't know if I am anymore. I mean, I realize that it's a weird world. It's a weird world, and this is uncharted territory. Always err on the side of freedom, folks. Always err on the side of freedom, because when you don't, you will never get it back. It's like incrementalism, right? I always tell, like, my youngest son, because whenever there's like a sweet or something, he wants all of it. I'm like, just take a little bit of it. If you want more and you can eat more, then go back. Don't have your eyes be bigger than your stomach, right? Okay, look at it like this. If you're going to approach this, err on the side of freedom. If there's something else you can do after that, then maybe do it. But err on the side of freedom, always. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm also theorizing, because I think that Trump has made some pretty good limited government decisions, which is why I'm a little hesitant to believe, you know, and think that my worst fears are true and that the CEO is just a complete dissolution of 230, because he's been really good in being really hands off and allowing governors and localities to make determinations about quarantines and masks and all that. And, you know, quite frankly, I love the fact that he doesn't wear a mask and he believes that the cloth masks are garbage. I like that. He's been pretty good. I have no reason to think that he won't be, but at the same time, I'm incredibly nervous about this kind of stuff. I'm incredibly nervous when we're getting into Bill of Rights territory. So I may differ from most of my friends on this issue. I think Maybe like people in my own household don't even agree with me.
No, on this Twitter, this particular section 230, is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
I think it was mainly because of my understanding of it. Now I have a little more clearer understanding of it, thanks to your explanation. But for me, it was if a platform decides that certain comments don't belong, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily mean that those comments themselves violate law. Aren't they themselves taking the responsibility for the content, or are they not? Like, why can't platforms just leave everything alone and just let everything be kind of Wild Westy, and then only current existing law be what covers this, right? Because I know Section 230 is more about liability than anything else.
I just don't understand how if, and again, this goes back to it, because the big thing came for comment sections and websites. I just don't understand how an entity, like say you have Kane.com, right? And you post, you know, political issues and things like that up, and then you have a wild and crazy and rambunctious comment section. Mm-hmm. And there's some people putting in some indecent stuff. Like maybe they're putting in child pornography links. Right. I mean, I'm just going to use like the worst case scenario
that's
here.
That's illegal. That's
and crazy. Then and say some people put in child pornography links. Say some people just put in like, oh, they're it's just indecent but not illegal.
Right.
And you remove both of those things, and then they get mad at you and try to come back at you. I don't see how you wouldn't have immunity
right.
from that. Or say that some people are arranging something in your comment section and they're going to go meet up and carry out, you know, some criminality. I don't see how you're liable for that.
No, right. Exactly.
And you should have immunity from that. Which and you shouldn't necessarily have to have something like this to even state that.
Yeah,
but apparently we
exactly
do.
Exactly right. That's what I mean.
But now at this point, to remove it will invite all of this litigation. Everything sucks. That's all you guys need to know. Can we talk about Fartgate real quick? I need to play an interview for you. This was Joe Biden, who was doing a Biden live stream, and he was talking to Governor Tom Wolf, who is apparently only 4 feet tall, or somehow no one had the idea to make the two of them at least level in the live stream, which always bugs me. But then I want you to listen to something, because we've all heard leather on a seat creak. This is not this. Listen.
Yeah, this is just the 4 second clip. Here it is.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So,
okay, did y'all hear that? We got to play it again. Just that specific part. Listen in the background. Don't listen to Biden. Listen to what happens behind him.
I'll increase the volume a little too.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So, what does the
No, that was a fart.
Yeah, that wasn't anything but.
That was a fart.
Gaseous.
Sounded like somebody needed a wipe. That's what that sounded like. That did not sound like a leather seat. Did not sound like an office seat or something, you know? Like, that doesn't, no, it doesn't make that. That doesn't
or
make
stop
it.
Work on roads and bridges.
See?
So
what is that?
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. But when he said bridges, he did make a little funny little thing with his eyes.
And he moved, and he shifted a little in his seat.
I mean, I'm not saying that he did, but, you know, I'm
saying
just
it.
Posing the possibility that maybe he did.
I'll say
maybe
it.
He did. And I feel like Owen Wilson right now in the Royal Tenenbaums, you know, he's talking about Custer.
I'll say he farted. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe. Was it him or was it Wolf? Because if it was Wolf that did it and he didn't even move, never trust somebody.
Right.
Never trust somebody who can do that and not even shift in their seat. That's creepy to me. I'm not even kidding. You think it's funny? That's terrifying.
No, it lines up with the way the former vice president was shifting in his seat. It's
I love
his.
How we turned like into a forensics lab with this.
I know.
I mean, we have all these pressing issues, but did he fart though? I mean, that's like this really serious thing that we're trying to
important analysis.
You know, we really bring it all to you. You know, we really do. But yeah, for real, like somebody, you know, you maybe need to get one of those mags, those big old astronaut diapers that we were talking about yesterday. All right. We got a lot more to touch on. We really do in a completely like germ-free way at socially distance and all that.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or the First, channel 248 on Pluto TV.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions.
Florida man.
The heck was that?
Hold on, that was a cougar, I think.
Was it? Oh, dang.
Was that a cougar?
Did you open up some box wine?
It was a tiger.
Oh, okay. Same thing, kind of.
It's close.
I'm not going to say what just popped into my head.
I was going to play this, so, but I didn't do it.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, that would have been a wild Biden. Florida man accused of shooting his neighbor's chicken with a BB gun. Florida man Sean Ramsey, 37, is accused of shooting his neighbor's chicken using, it was a little pellet pistol. Witness said, I heard a gunshot. It's a pellet in a residential neighborhood and saw one of his chickens running towards his property, according to the report. Sean apparently, I don't know why, he said he was mad that the chickens were free range and his neighbor was mad at being shot at. Okay, your chickens ain't free range if they're running up on your neighbor's property. If your chicken gets up on my property, I'm going to take your chicken. I mean, that's just the way that's going. Sidebar. People across the street from us, I guess their chicken thing fell over. Their roost fell over. And there were all these crazy chickens running around in the yard. And I stopped my car in the middle of the road. And I literally was like, I'm going to grab a chicken. And I texted my oldest son. And I was like, how fast can you sprint? My husband was like, no, no, no. Because I was concerned about the road and also about me having a chicken, a free pet chicken that I could eat later.
If a chicken comes across your path,
it's my chicken.
It's your chicken.
I know. Finders keepers. Right. It's my chicken. So I don't. That actually happened. Did I not text you? And I was like, how fast can you sprint? All right. So I got to get into this one. It's not on my list, but I just saw it a little bit ago. Tampa, Florida. Do you remember the Florida woman who claimed she had three breasts? Well, she was charged with a DUI. You remember that woman, but it was like fake.
Yeah.
It was the weird thing that went around the internet. Alicia Hessler was arrested Monday morning. She apparently had, she was a DUI. I just thought that was interesting because I'm like, I remember that going around. And now look how far people go. I don't know. Stick with us. We got a lot more coming up.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The president put me in charge of getting out the recovery money, which was 800 and, I don't know, excuse me, it was 80, almost $89 billion. I guess it came to 84 at the end, 84 billion.
Well, in case you were wondering how Joe Biden is doing today after Fartgate, there you have it. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebooks. And we've had a lot going on. So we're going to get into the Texas and voting thing. Now, the space I wanted to share with you really quickly while I'm remembering this, because we've been talking about big tech and the expected executive order about Section 230, which you clearly know where I stand on this. There's a fantastic piece over at The Atlantic about SpaceX. And because that, I think we're ignoring the monumentous thing that happened yesterday, and not just in terms of here where we're able to actually send our own astronauts into space again because we've been hitching rides with the Russians, which, do you realize they were charging us $50 million a seat just to get it, to hitch a ride up to ISS? Dang. And they increased it to 90. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The article at The Atlantic is called "American Spaceflight is Now in Elon Musk's Hands. The most important NASA mission in decades is about to lift off on a billionaire's private rocket." And it is a fantastic piece because it gets into the timeline of the very beginning with the formation of SpaceX and when they were going to send, like, there was a story of how, what was this, like 2010? How they were going to send up a rocket of supplies to the ISS. And when they were doing last minute checks as to whether or not that was going to be greenlit and they were going to take off, NASA engineers found like a one crack in something on the outside, like the covering. And SpaceX and Musk's response was, okay, just cut it off. And NASA was like, what? And they're just like, cut it off. Just cut it off then. So they and SpaceX, their people went up and just literally cut it off, buffed it out, and rocket went up.
Nice.
I mean, it's amazing because it went from NASA didn't really want to trust these people because because NASA is very slow and steady. That's their ethos. They're very slow and steady. And Musk is very, a lot of people look at Musk as like the realization of Tony Stark, except not in, but don't mistake it. Musk, I think, is very confused politically because he says he's a socialist, but not really. But he wants to redefine socialism. So he's like, I'm a socialist, but I'm like this made up kind of socialism. And then he believes in a universal basic income, which I don't. And most limited government people don't. But maybe he'll have this conversion and he'll leave those bad because a lot of other stuff he is correct on. He says he's socially liberal, fiscally conservative. So this piece, though, it's really good. It gets into the relationship between NASA and SpaceX and how, you know, NASA was ultimately shuttered. And it wasn't until SpaceX signed a lease on, you know, Cape Canaveral and they moved in 3 years after all the shuttles were gone. This is something really cool because it's not just about reclaiming our rightful position as it concerns space, but it's also a new era of privatization plus work with a government agency. And that is huge because that's how it really ultimately should be. I'm all for opening that up and allowing, well, let's all have private companies. You know, because there are other companies out there beyond SpaceX that do this. In fact, there was another company that was out there was creating and testing this ability to not just take off from Earth and then land on something and then come back just without having to have any other parts to it. I don't know. But the article is really cool. Yeah, they said that in Russia, because we would have to go to, where did we go? Like Kazakhstan? Kazakhstan, I think, is where our astronauts would fly off to. This piece of The Atlantic says that it's for the past 9 years, NASA astronauts have launched with Russian cosmonauts. And they would get in this little tiny capsule, shoulder to shoulder, and they'd blast off from Kazakhstan, and then they would to get to the International Space Station. And obviously, you know, you don't really want to be able to only have to rely on the Russians to get up to the ISS, especially since we're the country that ushered in the space era by landing on the moon. And so they said that with this, because it was like 50 million to 90 million, the Soyuz is what it was called. The cost of a single seat rose from 50 to 90 million. And one of the reasons they canceled the space shuttle program was because it was too expensive. And so NASA was like, okay, we'll turn it over to the private sector and have a, you know, more than one company do it, and we'll be able to drive down the cost of travel to orbit. And I like this line in The Atlantic: a sense of patriotism mattered nearly as much as the price. A spacefaring nation should be capable of dispatching its own explorers. And I have to say, I think it's incredibly awesome that the story of this, it's a private company started by a guy born in South Africa who moved heaven and earth to get to the United States. Because he said, I always, you know, figured that this was the best country. It was the greatest country and it afforded the most opportunity. And he moved heaven and earth to come to the United States, have SpaceX. And now you have NASA, two astronauts who I think between them, they each have like four trips between them. They're best friends too. And they're sitting on rockets that were developed by a private entity. And that also speaks to how much trust has grown between SpaceX and NASA as well, and how NASA is really trusting the engineers and the minds at SpaceX. And it was really cool. This is a really cool paragraph too. It says the work always, it felt like a trust exercise. In 2013, SpaceX's Dragon capsule, this is what I was telling you about, 2013, not 2010. It was on its way to deliver supplies to the ISS. The launch had unfolded smoothly, but when the capsule reached orbit, a damn valve on the spacecraft started causing trouble. As SpaceX engineers in the control room scrambled to troubleshoot the problem, ready to terminate the mission if necessary, senior NASA officials hovered in the background, whispering to one another about potential fixes. Lori Garver, then NASA's deputy administrator, was among them, hoping they would swoop in and help the SpaceX team before it was too late. Maybe you should tell that to them, she had said to Bill Gerstenmayer, then NASA's associate administrator for human exploration. But Gerstenmaier held back. He wanted the SpaceX engineers to find a solution, which they did, and he seemed to trust them to do it. And that's when, Garver said, I knew NASA was starting to accept this and it was going to work. It's a really cool story. It's a really cool story. I'm going to put it up at danalash.com. I'll also include it in the newsletter. But it, I love what this, I love what it means. So when you watch this on Saturday, and I believe it's like, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 10 in the morning. When you watch this on Saturday, keep all of that in mind, because this has been a really long time coming. And Musk has everything banked on this. Everything. I mean, it's just, it's cool. And there's, I mean, really the United States has a lot on it too, because this will change things. It will be the first time in history, in Earth's history, that you have a private entity that is able to get up and launch something into orbit like this with people on it. It's amazing.
According to what I'm seeing here, the time is Saturday, but it's at 3:22 Eastern, which would put it at 2:22 Central.
Oh, perfect then. Well, that's specific. I know. Have you always wondered that when you're like going and you're when you're taking off on a flight and it's like 2:21?
Right.
Like, really? The plane's really at 2:21? That's when you're going to take off? Is it really that specific? Like, how does that happen? I'm curious. How does that happen? No, this is a great piece. So I'm super excited about the launch. And I love the privatization of this. Love it. So there was a huge win in Texas against the mail-in voting, which is totally unconstitutional. The Supreme Court in the state of Texas held that the lack of immunity to the Wuhan coronavirus is not a disability that requires mail-in voting. And that's pretty much what Attorney General Ken Paxton had said to us, that this is something that is, because then you could argue that with every single illness, right? I mean, you're arguing that with every single illness at this point. So I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense that they wouldn't. But voter fraud still exists. In fact, over at lidblog.com, my friend Jeff has a great piece, Want Proof That Voter Fraud Exists? Plenty of evidence here. And he actually gets into case after case after case, like in West Virginia, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff linked. I mean, it's a deep dive. And he has Wall Street Journal, but all of these different cases in which there have been so many instances of voter fraud. Heritage Foundation had a searchable list of over 1,200 cases, and 220 of those involved some absentee ballots. And please also know that absentee ballots are not the same thing as like mail-in voting, because those are two totally different things. But if you think that it can't be and it won't make fraud worse, you don't know what you're talking about, because it absolutely will. It definitely will. And there was a piece in Dallas News about how absentee voting and fraud stopped Texas's voting by mail. In this piece, it says that there are only certain voters have been able to vote by mail throughout Texas's history. And it gets into like a lot of the fraud and a lot of the ability to defraud and undermine an election. I mean, this has been going back for a couple of decades. So I'm glad to see that this victory for voter integrity. All right, I've got to tell you this crazy story. I have to share this story with you. This story is insane. A wedding. Okay, so let me just set up like this. There was a guy who he and his fiance were going to get married, and then his fiance was killed in a car crash before they were married, and it was on February 4th of this year. Just back in February 4th, and apparently they were going to get married this month, just like last week. And she was killed just shortly before the wedding. Now, they had taken care of all of the details for the wedding, and they hired this company called Copper Stallion Media as their wedding videographer, and they paid a $1,800 deposit. And after the accident, Justin Montney, who was the prospective groom, asked if there could be a refund for the deposit from Copper Stallion Media. And they said no. They said, nope, the contract was non-refundable. They offered to put it towards his next wedding.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And so what he did is he just went on, I don't know if it was like Yelp or where it was. And he just left them a negative, or no, the Knot. He went on the Knot.com and left them a negative review. And then they lost their minds about him. And they went at him so hard because he, and they said, oh, he's smearing us. And it made its way into the media. Copper Stallion Media even bought his name as a domain name and said, we hope you're crying on what would have been your wedding day. We hope you sob and cry all day on what would have been your wedding day. They actually did this. This Copper Stallion Media did this. This is the craziest thing I've ever read. And his fiance, she had been killed when her car was hit by a semi in Colorado Springs. And so he just left a negative review on the Knot, and then it went from there. So they put out, they bought his name.com, and they put up this awful stuff about him. And they actually tweeted this or put this up on Facebook. They go, today would have been the day we would have filmed Justin and Alexis's wedding in Colorado Springs. After what Justin pulled with the media stunt to try and shake us down for a refund, we hope you sob and cry all day for what would have been your wedding day. Sorry, not sorry. So if you ever hear of a company called Copper Stallion Media, maybe run the other way. Isn't that insane? I mean, this is nasty. This is nasty. And then they tried to say that an employee killed herself because of what he did. And then the internet sleuth and found out this employee actually killed herself 2 years ago. And they were using that as a, is that not nasty? And then all these other people were coming out saying, yeah, they didn't pay me. And oh my gosh, that's awful. I know, we got to get going. I had to share that story with you. See, things could be worse.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Kathy Griffin was advocating for someone to stab the president with a syringe full of air and basically called it cause an air embolism. And she had retweeted the accusation from Washington Examiner. I sure did, blanker. I can't say what she said. Well, then finally, Twitter suspended her after first saying that it didn't really violate TOS terms of service. But now I guess it did. So they suspended her account until she deletes it. Or they could just delete, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. It's weird. Remember we was talking about Lake of the Ozarks and how if you have been swimming in the Lake of the Ozarks as I talk with my hands and hit my mic, that you're pretty much impervious to everything. Lake of the Ozarks bar owner defends his wild Memorial Day weekend party, declaring that no laws were broken. And he says that if people didn't social distance, it's technically not a crime. And he's technically not incorrect. By the way, it was hot and humid and super sunny out there. They were all outside. So everybody just kind of just chill out, okay? A fire pit on a deck, which is stupid, obviously started a fire at this Mount Pleasant home, according to W. Oh my gosh, I just can't even. Some of these people. This is according to WTAE. Fire officials said that, yeah, this home, they put a fire pit on their wooden deck. And then obviously it caught the whole thing on fire. Why would you do this? Good night. Oil is on track for its best month ever after rebound. Traders say it's not out of the woods. And then also, apparently, did the governor of New Mexico break her own rules as it relates to lockdown and the social distancing? That's what KRQE is asking. Whether Michelle Grisham, the governor, did she play by her own rules? She ordered non-essential businesses to shut down. But then there was a non-essential business that opened so she could buy jewelry and have it delivered to her, apparently. Yeah, see, some for them, not for everyone. The Alaskan governor joins us next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Nursing home, the obligation is on the nursing home to say, I can't take a COVID-positive person. I'm too crowded, I'm too busy, I don't have enough PPE, whatever the answer is, doesn't even matter. It's if they say I can't take the person, they can't take the person.
Except that's not so how that policy was.
That's how it works.
It didn't work that way. I mean, I have the actual policy. I can put it up on danalash.com. Welcome back to the show. The policy was that from the governor of New York was that they actually have to accept them. That's why you had so many administrators of all of these different nursing homes come out and say, please allow us to transfer these individuals to these hospitals and to get treated. But that's why the virus was allowed to spread in these nursing homes. That's why they lead the nation in nursing home fatalities. I mean, it was like near 6,000, which is inexcusable. That's bad administration. And when you have, honestly, a bad governor like that, how is your state ever even going to get near phase one? How is that even going to happen? Now, that's what New York is dealing with. If you turn and look at Alaska, they're actually going into phase three before Texas. Well, they have everything limited. I mean, everything was kind of like, you know, they got it control. They were watching everything. They've got like their outbreak teams. I was looking at some of the news on this, the way that they've managed the pandemic and the virus in their state. And now they can look, I mean, it's been so successful. Now they can go into phase three. And I'm just like, are flights to Alaska open? Texas is doing really well, but it's not phase three. Joining us right now is the Alaska Governor, Mike Dunleavy. And Governor, it's good to have you. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations, by the way, on you're going into phase three before any other state in the country.
Yeah, we're pretty much open with everything, and it's at 100%. We were always a little different just because of our location. We invented social distancing up here in Alaska, right? We're a big state, 2.5 times the size of Texas. We've had really good numbers. We do know that those numbers will go up because our numbers are so low, 0, 1, 2, 3, et cetera. So the numbers will go up as we mix more. We know that. But we're prepared for it. And that was the whole arrangement we had with the people of Alaska is give us time, let us build up our healthcare capacity, let us understand the virus, and then when that happens, we open up. That's what we did. People of Alaska were very good. They continue to be very good at helping each other. But businesses are open. We will get more cases, but we believe we can manage them, and we got to keep an eye on the economy because without an economy, you've really got nothing else.
Exactly. And as we know from countless studies, that can actually make this worse. And sometimes you could even see a greater tragedy with the consequences of keeping the economy locked down than not. And one of the other things that I know that Alaska, that your office has acknowledged and that other governors have acknowledged is that, you know, obviously when you have an increase in testing too, I mean, you're going to see more people test positive. But what I notice that the media always fails to include with us, Governor, is the recovery rate. No one talks about that recovery rate. And the more of these cases that you have, those fatality rates drop. Talk to me a little bit about this as it relates to Alaska.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some figures here. So we have a total of 412 cases as of yesterday. Our numbers are still coming in for today. We had zero deaths. We've had zero deaths for some time. We have had a total of 10 deaths. No new hospitalizations, total of 46 hospitalizations, total of 46,363 tests. And recovered statewide, as you said, Dana, 364 recovered out of the 412. And so our numbers, like we said, our numbers are pretty good. And we know that there is, there's a flip side, too, because our numbers are so low that you double your numbers from 1 to 2, exponentially, that's a rise percentage-wise. But nonetheless, we all have to be prepared to manage this virus.
Right.
Vaccinations will be here for maybe a year, maybe a little longer. So it's here with us now. We have to learn to live with it. We have to learn to manage it. Testing, tracking, and social distancing where you can. I mean, if you don't have to hug somebody and you don't have to shake hands, you could do a show like we are via distance or a conference. It all helps reduce it until that vaccination comes along. But again, you mentioned it. It's really important to take a look at the economy and other aspects of society. marital issues, potential domestic violence issues, emotional, mental health issues. This is all part of the overall health of an entire state. And so it's got to be taken in that context.
Yeah, we talk about overwhelming the system, but people don't realize overwhelming the system as it relates to the instances that you just spoke about, Governor. I know that you've been watching, you know, we've been discussing the businesses reopening and the health of the economy. I'm sure that you've heard from business owners as well in your state. What do you make of some of the more heavy-handed enforcement that you've seen maybe from other states across the country where, you know, whether it's in Illinois, where you have Pritzker saying, well, if you, you know, you could go to jail if you reopen your business, and the, some of the enforcement efforts in states like California and New York. I mean, obviously, I would think, you know, I know Texans don't really go with that so well. From what I understand, Alaskans don't really either. Give me your take on that.
No. So, again, we never had a lockdown like other states.
Right.
We said, get out, enjoy Alaska, just stay 6 feet away from each other. Go snowmobiling, go fishing, go hunting.
It's a big state. It's easy to do that.
It is a big. So we just said, just be conscious that this virus can jump from one person to another, and the further you are away from somebody, the less chance you have of spreading it or getting it. We told our people from the get-go, there'll be no fining or threatening or chasing people around, because we work for the people of Alaska. Mm-hmm. They're our bosses. And so what we're trying to do is manage this pandemic by making sure our healthcare has the capacity. Now it's up to individual Alaskans, individual entities, individual businesses, the police themselves. We'll still continue to give them the latest information on the virus, but it's really up to people to be able to take care of their own health. We have the system in place so we don't overwhelm society. People have to make some choices.
Gosh, that's refreshing to hear, I have to say, because, I mean, we're just besieged day in and day out with cable news from hearing from people who say exactly the opposite of what you just said. So it is so refreshing to hear that. Do you find that people, when kind of left to their own judgment, it seems to me, as it relates to this pandemic, They're pretty common sense. They're pretty commonsensical about this.
Yeah, I think when you rely on people, period. I think history shows that when you rely on individuals to do the right thing, they generally do the right thing. And for those that say that government is always going to do the right thing, we have lots of instances where government doesn't do the right thing. And so, trust me, Dana, this was not easy even for us to be able to say to our people and our businesses, please shut your doors for a while so we can get a handle on this virus, get our healthcare capacity up. But we now have an obligation, not just to our people, but also our businesses and our entities, do everything we can to get them up off their knees, get them moving forward. And it's for their sake, but also for society in general. A healthy economy, happy people, it's the mix that you really need to move forward. And we're pretty optimistic here in Alaska.
And phase three, as it's been previously defined by Drs. Fauci, Birx, and others, Redfield over at CDC, that's pretty much getting back to normal, correct?
Yeah, we're back. The only thing we really have in place in the state of Alaska is we have some very small Native Alaskan communities that don't have health care, that we work with them in limiting visitors in and out. Some of those small communities are hundreds of miles by air away from other places. So we help limit non-essential travel there because of the healthcare capacity. But also, we're going to ask people if they're going to come into the state of Alaska that they do a test. But in terms of businesses, entities, gatherings, that's now up to the people, the entities, and the business to govern that.
That is so good to hear. So Alaska's back, one of the first state in the country to go into phase three. One last question for you, Governor, because so many states are dealing with, like, for instance, in Texas, oil and gas. I mean, we've been watching some oil prices. How is this affected specifically inherent to Alaska's resources, the state economy and the product there? Because I know, obviously, fishing, crabbing, all of that.
It's going to be tough, Dana. I mean, we had a robust cruise ship industry here in the state of Alaska. We're an oil state.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses, our sectors, our industries are being hammered by this. And this is what we said. We said when this, we were the first state to bring in a plane load of individuals from Wuhan, the State Department officials and their families back in January. So we stood up pretty early. But we also recognized that when this pandemic unfolded, there would be multiple components to it that will be potentially devastating. The health component, but also shutting the economy down, oil taking a hit, things like the cruise ship industries. These are going to be things we're going to be dealing with for months and months, if not longer, to get these things back on their feet. But again, we're Americans. We're Alaskans. Alaskans deal with natural disasters all the time, volcanoes, earthquakes, fires, floods, you name it. We pull together. And what we have found is that when we get through these, we come out of these things stronger and better. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, it's excellent leadership, I have to say. And I know that because we hear from folks in Alaska, and they're super excited about kind of, you know, just getting back to normal. Although kind of what you said, and I love it, we've been practicing social distancing already. This is just something that they've alluded to. What would you have? Actually, this is going to be my last question for you. We're talking to Governor Dunleavy from Alaska. How would you, if you had to give advice to other state leaders, other lawmakers, in terms of going into phase two, phase three reopening, what advice would you give now, being that Alaska is so successful at reopening and getting back to normal? What wisdom, having gone through this and being first in the nation at this point, would you impart to other leaders?
Don't forget what the original mission was. The original mission wasn't to chase people around and lock them in their houses. The original mission was to build up your healthcare capacity to deal with a new health threat, a new virus. And once you do that, or once you get to the point where you feel that your healthcare capacity is there, people have to police themselves. This is a free society. We are the freest country on the face of the earth. Alaska likes to pride ourselves on being the freest state in the country, but you have to rely on the people. We do everything for the people. We govern on their behalf. We don't govern them, but we govern on their behalf. And so you got to have faith in the people. In Alaska, this has paid dividends, asking people, working with people, working with entities. And again, as a result, we have lowest cases in the country. We do believe they will go up because there'll be more mixing. But nonetheless, this is all about people. And yes, we have become pretty darn close to limiting liberties. And some of you even said brushing up against the Constitution. We should all be cognizant of that. The freedom and the liberties of this country are our greatest asset, and they will get us through this episode, this pandemic, just like it has before.
Yeah, there you go. Alaskan Governor Mike Dunleavy, it's a pleasure to have you. Congrats on that phase three. And also congrats to Alaskans for having a governor that understands liberty and understands allowing people to make common sense decisions for themselves. Governor, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana. Have a great day.
You too. We have more in store, folks, as well, and we'll have Today in Stupidity coming up. And don't forget, danalash.com. We're going to go over some of the finer points there of that Section 230. We're still watching the developments on that executive order, which apparently, as I understand it, it's being done now, and then footage of that afterwards is going to be released, and we will get into that with you.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
It's after Memorial Day weekend, so we can play Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, Summertime, which was a big track back when I was in junior high. Hey! And it was the summertime track. Yeah, well. This song is everything that summer is. It sounds like summer. It feels like summer. We got to play it during summer. Can't play it till after Memorial Day weekend, though. But it's true. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe, like, Gen Z doesn't know this. Maybe they won't experience this. But you remember when we were younger, you go cruising?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, the guys would get their cars all cleaned up, and the girls would curl their hair. I mean, this was like even all the way up into the mid-90s. And where I lived, everyone cruised Lindbergh.
Yes.
In St. Louis, South St. Louis County. You cruised Lindbergh. And you would go to like McDonald's and you'd get a soda. And then you'd get back in your car. And you would listen to music. And you would talk with your girlfriends. And you would see your friends. Sometimes you'd go into the Ronnie's 8 Theater parking lot. Although, is it 8 anymore?
No.
I don't even think so. It's like 16, maybe? I don't know.
32?
Maybe a frillion? Who knows? But I remember when this song came out. I was junior high. It was summer. The song is summer. I hear it, and I think of junior high summer, right? It is the essential summer track. You have to have it. If you have never appreciated the song and or you do not have it, I got to question your devotion to summer. I'm saying, I got
to. The fun part of this for me is you on camera dancing when people through the TV feed cannot hear DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh
Prince. That's so sad, but it's licensing issues.
You're dancing without music to those people.
Yeah, you know what? That's okay. You just play the track and then, like, you know, match up the beat. That's all you got to do.
My favorite thing about
we respect IP. And the license to broadcast it on more than just the radio forum is very expensive. I don't have Bloomberg money, you know? So it's like, that's how it is. So just imagine it. Except for him. He's got it.
He's got it.
And then the Moms Demand people that he hires, they got it. All right, so... DanaLash.com. I'm going to have, we don't yet know what the executive order entails. And as soon as he has signed it, and apparently we're going to get some footage after, I guess it's all finished, because I still think that it's ongoing. I don't know what it entails. I will have a write-up on this on DanaLash.com. The reason I haven't published it yet is because I think it's dumb to publish a piece on it when we don't even know what it we don't know what it is yet. So I would like to wait and see what it is, right? I mean, come on. I like doing that kind of stuff. I hate being first, but being wrong. So we don't know. All I know is that worst case scenario, when you remove that immunity, as I told this nice listener on Twitter, because he had said, and he's been very cool. He's like, I just respectfully disagree. He's like, if Twitter's immunity is removed, they can be sued for their actions. The volume of lawsuits will make them an example of why adherence to the First Amendment must be part of Section 230. Except it isn't, though. Here's the thing. Section 230 literally says it doesn't matter if it's constitutionally protected or not.
Right.
So, all right. Today in stupidity.
All right. Thought I could go with Joyless Behar again. I mean, there's plenty of Biden stuff to go to, but it's... Nancy Pelosi. She's talking again, and this isn't the first time she said this, and other Democrats have said it, that you can't let you can't let this go to waste. Any crisis at all can't go to waste, and this is what she said.
To opportunity in our country, because as Mr. Clyburn said, this is an opportunity. Every crisis is.
Every crisis is an opportunity.
Of course
Democrats
it is. Of course it is.
Love them some crisis.
Yeah, there you go. So, well, it's always an opportunity, they said. DanaLash.com will have the executive order written up for you. I'll have some analysis on that. Of course, obviously, we will also cover it on air tomorrow. And you can find video of our interviews and past interviews at Official Dana Lash on Facebook and Dana Lash on YouTube. Have a great night.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.